Got your Bible, turn to John chapter number 8. I want you to do what we traditionally do. Look at me. If you got one, wave it. Wave it. You ought to thank God you're free to wave it. Somebody say amen. John chapter number 8. Hey, Chandler, you're here. I didn't see you. Great job last Sunday night. John chapter number 8, verse number 31, and I'll read down to verse 37. I got a very important message this morning. By the way, this is a great 4th of July crowd. I was wondering if we'd have anybody, but we'd have a big crowd this morning. Thank God for you. John chapter number 8, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And verse number 31, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He uses that word in this passage, that word indeed. I'm interested in it this morning. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, glory. They answered him. Notice the mindset of the Jews. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily. And by the way, anytime you see verily, verily, that's important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Notice the language of this verse. If the son therefore shall make you free, I like this, ye shall be free indeed. Somebody praise him. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. What a powerful section of scripture. Today is July 4th. As Americans, we are stopping, Dr. Harrison, and thanking God for our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, I think sometimes we take that lightly. But with this liberal, socialistic government we got right now, who want to snatch it all away, you ought to be thanking God you got it. You ought to thank God that you're American this morning. When you're an American, you possess certain rights and liberties. Thank God for our liberties. Because you're American, you can assemble in this auditorium this morning and give glory to our God. Because you are American, you can believe any God and believe in God, or even choose not to believe in God. Because you're American, we have the right to speak our mind. By the way, the liberals like to get us not to speak our mind. But if there's ever a time that we need to take a stand for America, for truth, for right, and stand up for God, it's this morning. I am going to preach this morning. As Americans, we have a right to carry this Bible. As Americans, we have a right to pray in the name of Jesus and to serve Him. Do you know, though, listen carefully, it is possible to be an American and still not be free. Do you know that it is possible for a person to enjoy all the rights guaranteed under the Constitution and still not be free? Do you know there's many Americans that are free socially, but they are bound spiritually? in this section of scripture, Jesus is speaking to a group of people who believe their freedom lied with Abraham. They were looking at their heritage and they said, we're Abraham's seed and we're free. But Jesus looked at them and he said, he that committed sin is of the devil. And ladies and gentlemen, you can have all the blessings of America. You can have everything, all the right to be American. But if you're not saved and you're not born again, you are bound in sin and you have no freedom at all. Lord have mercy, I thought on that. You see, a person can be locked away in prison, but if he has Jesus, he's free. Do you know a person could be in an atheistic, socialistic, communist country, and he has Jesus, and he still can be free? I like the word in John 8. He said, you're free indeed. Would all y'all do it with me? If you're saved, will you do it with me? Let's say it together. I am free indeed. One more time. I am free indeed. If you're born again, if you're blood washed, it don't matter where you came from, you're free indeed. Woo! Woo! Number one, notice with me in verse 32, the source of our freedom. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, why are you free, preacher? Because I know the truth. Why are you free, preacher? Because I have a body of the truth right here. I have the truth in my hands. I have the living word of God. All those people arguing about what version, I already know what version. Do you know you can use the right one and still not know the truth? It bothers me, a lot of our independent Baptists. We'll fight till the blood is running. Whether we're going to have the King James Bible. And by the way, we should. It bothers me that you'll fight for it, but you won't live it. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. See, the word here refers to that which is true in respect to God and the execution of his purpose in Christ Jesus. See, the truth about Jesus is seen all around. You can't look at nature. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We were out in Arizona. We did have one day of freedom. And we went to the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. How many's been there? You can't, hey, listen to me, you can't look at that and not know there was a God behind it all. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Hey, nature, creation tells us there's a God. I want you to know something. You're not responsible to me. You're not responsible to the Baptist church, but you are responsible to the God that created you, the one that put the breath in your nostril, the one that made you a living soul. You are accountable to him this morning. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness, unrighteousness, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I want you to know something. If you believe in anything other than Jesus being the way, the truth, the life, you are holding the truth in unrighteousness. By the way, the truth of Jesus is found in the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all, and also received how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The Bible said he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The truth about Jesus is found in every page of the Bible. You could have a lot of intellect this morning, but if you don't know the truth, you're not free. You are bound. You are a slave to sin. You are wicked. You are on your way to hell, and there's no hope for you. God, help us. Where can we find the truth? Boy, I like this. You know, I preach grace. And you know, folks, and I preach only one way to heaven. You know what folks do sometimes? They say, well, we don't like your preaching about that. Well, then you don't like Jesus. See, I preach the truth. He said, what is the truth? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to find a way into heaven by old Buddha. You're not going to find a way in heaven by the Pope. You are not. Somebody help me preach. Mohammed, you ain't going to find a way to make it a trip to Mecca. I'll tell you what you need. You need to make a trip to Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to be saved by Jesus. Yeah, how many saved by Jesus this morning would raise your hand and say, thank God. God, I'm free. Whew. Somebody help me preach. By the way, listen carefully. Ray, this is important. Where can you find him? The truth about Jesus is revealed to the sinner by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. No man cometh to me except the Father draw him. Now let me make a statement. When we fail into sin, the image of God, now the Calvinists say the image of God was destroyed. No, the image of God was damaged. And here's what God does, Roger. He allows a preacher like me to preach the truth. And then here's the job of the Holy Spirit. He starts drawing you to the truth. And he reveals Christ to you. But ladies and gentlemen, even though he reveals truth to you, you can't be saved unless you individually, by your own free will, repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Somebody help me preach. You're bound in sin. You're lost in sin. You're away from God. And the only hope is to trust Christ. Amen. Am I preaching? Yeah. Number two. I want y'all to know, secondly, in verse 36. Look at your scripture. The scope of our freedom. Notice what he says. In verse number 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want y'all to notice something. I know many of you are not Greek scholars, and I'm not one myself. However, I'll give you a little enlightenment. Those two words for free there are actually different Greek words. Did you know that? The first one means to one who is free, or to one who is set at liberty. It means this. It is a picture of someone liberating a slave from bondage. How many remember that you were in slavery to sin? Maybe you were in slavery to alcohol, pornography, lust, ungodliness. But when God sets you free, you have a liberty that you've never had before. You're free. There may be somebody here this morning struggling with addiction. Maybe pornography. Maybe alcohol. Maybe drugs. And you're having a hard time getting delivered from it. I want you to know you can do all the 10 steps you want. You can go through every step you want to go through. But I want you to know there's only one can give you liberty from your alcohol and your addiction and your pornography and your drugs. Thank God, his name is Jesus. Secondly, I want you to get this I never saw this until I really studied it deeply. That second word translated free here in this passage refers to one who is free born. Jesus is saying that the freedom he gives us, and when he saves us to complete, here's what he's saying. Listen carefully. Mark it down in your notes. It is as if we were never slaves to begin with, but it is as if we're freeborn sons of God. You know what a God will do if you let him save you this morning? He'll blot out your past. He'll deliver you from your slavery. Somebody help me preach. He'll set you free this morning. You'll be freeborn. Hey, you'll be justified, declared righteous, as if you've never sinned. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. My sins. They're all gone. When the scoffers come and ask me, where are they? They're all under the blood of Jesus. Oh God. Somebody ought to give him a hand. Somebody ought to praise him this morning. Let me give you some things. When you are liberated by Jesus, let me give you five things. First of all, we've been delivered from the wrath of God. The Bible said much more being delivered from the wrath of God. Look at me. You and I cannot suffer 1 second of the wrath of God. That's why I know being a pre-tribulation rapturist, and believe we're going to get raptured before the tribulation period. We're never going to suffer the wrath of God. Somebody ought to say amen. We're going to be delivered by God. Not one day of the wrath of God. Because we're free. We're delivered from condemnation. There is therefore, look at me, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Being free, you're delivered from death and hell. He heareth our words and believeth in him that sent me. Listen to this. Hath everlasting life and shall not perish, neither shall come into condemnation. It is impossible for me to ever spend 1 second in hell. Oh, there's some out there teaching. Do you know there's some teaching this, that carnal Christians will have to go through the millennial in hell? That's a teaching. Well, Lord God, if that's true, we're all going to hell then. But I want you all to know, right now, in this very moment, and for the rest of eternity, we will not suffer hell. We will not go through the tribulation period. We will not face punishment because we are free indeed. Y'all help me. I'll tell you what else. We're delivered from the power of sin. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. The Bible said he's delivered us from the power of sin. Now, don't want anybody to get mad at me. And I don't want you to be upset at me. But if you constantly, continually stay in sin and say, I'm a Christian, I question that. I question that. I can't help it. I really believe when a person gets saved, they're changed. And don't tell me you can live in open sin all your life and not be chastened and not God's hand upon you. I just don't believe it. I believe when God saves you, he puts a holiness in you. I believe there's a new creature in you. I believe you're going to live right. Hey, I'm not living right to be saved, but I am living right because I am saved. And I say this, we're free and we're not under the bondage of sin anymore. We got victory. Not preaching anymore. I'm going to run around, but that's not preaching anymore. I'll tell you what's preaching. Live any way you want to and say you're a Christian. You can go out, come to church on Sunday morning, but tonight you open your computer up to pornography, and oh, you're okay. And tomorrow you have your little drink and you're okay. And nothing happens to you and nothing convicts you and nothing bothers you. And you smoke your little marijuana and you're okay. I want you to know you're not okay. If you've never really been saved, you're not okay. If Jesus saved you, you're a new creature. Something happened! And by the way, Colton, that's not being preached much today. I'm talking about real repentance. Turning from sin and turning to God. And I'll tell you what. We're also delivered from the power of Satan. I want to ask y'all something. Maybe you haven't. Maybe yours is spiritual. Has the devil ever whispered in your ear and said, you're not saved? He has me too. But I take him back to the day the blood was shed in my life. I take him back when I was born again. And I say, Satan, you don't have no control, man. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a robber. You have no place in my life. I've been delivered from you. And why is it there's some Christians that live like a devil? They got hate. They got unforgiveness. They got bitterness. They're angry. What's wrong with you? You can blame it on the preacher. You can blame it on the deacons. But that's not the problem. You're the problem. What is it? You got your little pet thing that's happened to you and you'll never get over it? I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, when I got saved, I'm free. I'm not in bondage then. I've got over it. Hey, I forgive people. Somebody help me preach. Come to church with a chip on your shoulder. Stay here long enough, I'll knock it off. Oh, it is true. What is it? When you got born again, you didn't get love. When you got born again, you didn't get Christ. When you got born again, you didn't get forgiveness. When you got born again, you didn't get the ability to be delivered from bitterness and be able to forgive people. Is that it? And if that is true, you ain't got nothing. Something missing. Somebody help me preach. Lastly, I'm done. Let's sacrifice for our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, we are free this morning as Americans, and it has not been cheap. Over 1 million soldiers has died on the battlefield. Do you mind me reading some things, because it's kind of hard to remember all this, but I want to get it right. Consider those that have signed the Declaration of Independence. 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds during the Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers. Men of means, well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death or capture. Now, listen carefully. Would you consider Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties, and he died in poverty. Would you consider Thomas Nelson? At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis took over his house, and Nelson told George Washington to open fire and destroy his house. Would you consider him this morning? And he died bankrupt. Would you consider John Hart, who was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mill was destroyed. For over a year, he lived in a forest, caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died. Our freedom as Americans was purchased at a high cost. But I want all y'all to know something. Our freedom as Christians was purchased at a high cost. The Bible said he gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. Not a ransom for a little elect. He died for every one of you. The Bible said he's a propitiation for our sins. Right? That's a Christian. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I don't believe in any limited atonement. And if you do, you're a Calvinist and you're wrong. And you're preaching a fatalistic doctrine. My gospel, Paul's gospel, Jesus' gospel is for whosoever will. Am I preaching? I'm rounding the corner. I'm almost home. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. The Bible said the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of it all. And I like this verse. Boy, listen to this. How many's ever fell in love? We all have. The Bible said, but God, whew, hold my mule, commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know, Jesus Christ, slaves are free. Those that come to Jesus are free. Be proud today. Be proud today to be American. You're free. But you can be that and still be damned in hell forever and ever and ever. And if you're under the sound of my voice and never been saved, you need to be set free. Bow your heads with me. Pianist, come please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many right now say, Pastor John? I know I'm free indeed. Because there was a time in my life I trusted Christ alone for salvation. Raise your hand. Hold her up all the house. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher, I don't know I'm free. I know I'm American. I know that I have the freedom of America. But preacher, I'm not sure I've been saved. You can be a church member and be lost. Well, preacher, I've never actually ever been saved. If you didn't raise your hand a moment ago that you're saved, how many right now, before you die, or before Christ comes, you want to know you're going to heaven and you want to be free from sin? Raise your hand up and say, pray for me. I've never been saved. God bless that hand. Anybody else? God bless it. Somebody else. Somebody else. How many Christians in this room would say, yes, preacher, I'm saved. But I will tell you, sin still has dominion over me. I haven't got the victory. I'm living contrary, preacher. I got bad feelings. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I don't feel appreciated. And I just feel like I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. How many Christians would be honest enough to raise your hand? God bless that hand. God bless that hand. Stand with me. If you're here and you need to get right with God, you that raise your hand lost, if you need to get saved, come around this. Oh, if you're away from God, don't have that liberty you used to have, and sin's got dominion, come and get right with God this morning, Father. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the liberty I felt this morning. Though my body was tired and thank you that you took over in me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessing that's in my life. Now bless now this altar call in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.